Thank you, Thomas. our speaker today is a guy I've gotten to know well. When I first moved to Houston 23 years ago, we started visiting a church, MDUMC, and started to visit a Sunday school, and there was a guy that taught this class called the Discovery Class, and his name was Tim Thomas. And it was about 40 pounds ago for him, about 60 pounds ago for me. And I was moved by his teaching, and little did I know, years later, several seasons, I entered here at MDPC, and Tim and I, we didn't cross paths after that until a small group got formed, the Sons of the Bible, the SOBs, and it was a unique way that Tim had gotten to the group, just how they all come together, and it was just cool because there was another guy that we had and said, look, it's a package deal. I'm not coming to the small group unless my friend Tim Thomas comes with me. I said, wait, which Tim Thomas? He goes and told me who he was. It's that Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas, yes. And Tim is a part of our Thursday morning small group that meets every week. And it's been amazing to see how Tim's spiritual gifts have come to the surface. He is a teacher, and all nine of the other SOBs, it's very clear to us that, I mean, from the very first time we met, I'll lead the first lesson. It was awesome. And from there, we always bring a box of tissue with us because Tim's also our resident crier. He wears his emotions on his sleeve in a powerful and manly way, but also in a way that's very vulnerable and very transparent. Tim is married to Susan, a lovely wife who has this great ministry of helping women in Africa to create jobs and clothing that are sold here in the States. His dad, Bob, Mr. Thomas, is here today too, and we're glad that he's here. He has three daughters, one left in the nest, Kate, who's at Stratford, and the other two, I think, are at Texas, Tim, is that right? And one is married, so he's going through some changes and things that are going on in his life. So I'm real excited to welcome my brother and great friend, Tim Thomas, up here to speak to us this morning.
Well, thank you, Tom, for that prayer. That was a perfect introduction. And Clint, thanks so much for calling me fat in front of all my friends. I really appreciate that, too. It really means a lot to me. I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, I'm going to give this speech. It'll probably be close to 100 guys there. And she says, wow, that's something. I said, yeah, in your wildest dreams, can you imagine? She goes, hey, Tim, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not in my wildest dreams. All right, so I need a ta-da guy. I don't really need a ta-da guy. Y'all know what a ta-da guy is? So my daughter, when she was little, she was going to do a dance routine for us, and she takes us into the front foyer of her house, and she's got her little tutu on and everything, and she says, Daddy, you stand over there, and you be the ta-da guy. And I go, well, okay, but what's a ta-da guy? She goes, you know, when I walk in, you go, ta-da. So I don't need a ta-da guy, but I need some of you guys to volunteer to say amen when I get wound up, okay? Because I'm planning on getting wound up. Are y'all okay with that? All right. Let's, if you guys would give me a minute to pray for myself, I'd appreciate it. Oh, God, you're so worthy of our praise and worship. You and I have talked about this moment every day for months. Don't let me blow it now. I love these men, Lord, because they love you. As forgiven sinners, you have adopted us into your family, and you've made us co-heirs with Jesus. You promised us a wonderful inheritance. So these are my brothers, Lord. Please help us to understand the ultimate relationship we have with you because of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Please help me to step aside and let you speak. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the topic that was assigned to me, like I said, about 6 to 8 months ago. By the way, if they give you a job and they make you wait for 6 to 8 months, you get a lot of anxiety going on. So anyway, hopefully it'll turn out good. But it was the ultimate relationship. So I thought about coming up here and saying, okay, he's God, we're not. Any questions? I mean, that's really the crux of it, right? Okay, but there's a lot more to contemplate about that relationship. And so we're going to do that today. So if he's God and we're not, why in the world would he create us knowing full well that we would be a royal pain in his butt? Huh? I mean, we're a bunch of knuckleheads, right? Why would he care? Why would he want to do that? Does anybody in here have children? Have they ever disappointed you?
Did you ever disappoint your parents? Have you ever lost sleep worrying about your kids? You see, there's more to it than just creating us to worship Him. He wants our love. I got three beautiful daughters, and my life would have been infinitely more simple had I not had children. But OMG, look at all the love that I would have missed out on. And that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. We're His sons. He's proud of us. You know, I want to be the kid that He looks down on and says, yeah, that one right there, that's my boy. That's my boy. Not, oh yeah, that's my kid. You know, I don't want that. I want Him to be proud of me. And I know I'm going to blow it at times, but I know that He will be with us. So last week, Rick Wirtz was talking, and he mentioned in Genesis that we were created to worship Him. And so that's our job, is to worship God. My mom taught me how to talk to God. It was actually before Alf's dad invented the stain-free carpet. Y'all heard that, right? Alf's dad invented that. And anyway, it was about late 60s, and I was a young kid, and we got new carpet in our house, and I spilled something on the carpet. And I still remember the lesson. My mom had smoke coming out of her ears, and she said, you better pray that stain comes out. My mom also taught me how to be patient and to receive. She often said to me, you just wait till your dad gets home. You're going to get it. So truthfully, I grew up with a great family. I have a fantastic mother and a super duper fantastic dad who's here today, right over there. And but some people didn't have that. And Rick talked about dysfunctional families where they didn't have a father who loved them. They didn't have a mother who nurtured them. Or maybe they had no mother, no father. So when I talk about family relationships today, I want to think about it from a structural standpoint, a positional standpoint, okay? So even though our relationship with God is a loving relationship, and He will admonish us, but He will love us in the same time, let's talk about it from a structural standpoint so that everybody can participate. Fair enough? All right. So I want to start with a confession. I know this is going to be shocking to some of you guys. I'm a Methodist. I was raised in a Methodist church, and I just stayed a Methodist. But truthfully, if I had to choose, I'd probably be a Presbyterian because I do believe in predestination, and I do believe in once saved, always saved. And I believe that because it's biblical. All right? Now, this is the admonition part, and this is the chastisement part for you and for me. Guys, if you don't know your Bible, it's because you've deliberately chosen to not study it. You've chosen to do something else with your time, watch football, work out, go to work, whatever it is, you've chosen to do something else besides study your Bible. So if you don't know your Bible, it's your fault. It's willful ignorance. And that sounds ugly, doesn't it? But you've willfully chosen not to study your Bible. And there really is no excuse, all right? You can find 80 different versions. You can find it in every single language. If you can't read, you can get it on tape. No excuse for us to not know our Bibles, myself included. Okay, so that's my admonishment. You know, a guy who, a three-year-old with a whoobie is kind of cute, right? A 30-year-old or 40-year-old or 50-year-old with a whoobie is not cute anymore, right? So take the whoobie out, grow up. All right. That being said, how many of you remember Howard Eddington? Right? He was the lead minister here for a while, right? He had this quirky thing that he did where every time he gave a sermon, he started it with this little saying where he would say, "This is the word of God." Did he say it like that? No. Everybody stand up. Stand up real quick. Y'all know how he said it, right? Okay, this is the fun part, right? So we're all going to say it the way he said it, right? All right. This is the word of God. Sit down. All right, so today we're going to look at words. We're going to look at good, positive, supportive words. And then we're going to look at some words that are a little daunting, if you will, a little pressing for us. And then we're going to look at some more positive words. And this is where I get psyched up, so I need your amen, guys. Let's go to the first slide. Oh, you told me I was going to do that. Sorry. All right, so I can't see that very well. Yeah, okay. So we're going to look at some words. These are positive words, right? Adopted, chosen, guarantee, revealed, marked, inheritance, mystery, sealed, provided, predestined, deposit, disclosed. Those are all good positive words. We're going to read the next slide, and there is some reading involved in this today, but I'll do the reading, so we'll go through it really fast. Nobody in here is stupid, right? You guys can follow me, right? I'm going to go pretty fast, all right? Now, I just made all the Aggies nervous, all right? No, we're going to go really fast through this, all right? All right, so look for those words as I read this. I'm going to come down here. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Those are good words, huh, guys? That ought to make us feel pretty good. Makes us feel like we're included, doesn't it? Now I want to look at some words. All right, let me read this too. You want to know the secret? It's fun to know the answer to the secret, right? God tells us he gives us the answer to the secret. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God, in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, hope is a noun. Okay? For us, hope is a noun. It's not a verb. It's not a, I hope I get a good grade on that test. I hope I get that job. Hope is a noun for us. It's something that's in the future that's going to happen. Amen? So we have that going for us. But here's the deal. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and then we try to sit on the throne. Right? It's not our throne, guys. It's God's throne. And so we're going to talk about some tough words that we need to follow in submission. What we try to do is we try to be independent, right? And Satan tempted Eve with independence. The prodigal son wanted to be independent. And Satan also tempted Jesus with independence. We want to be independent. We want to be the self-made man. It doesn't work that way. God didn't create us to run the show. He runs the show. Okay? So let's look at some words. Some of these words might make us a little nervous. Surrender, trust, submit, obey, depend, depravity, authority, accountability. A child is accountable to his parent. If you think you're not accountable to anybody, there are guys who say, I don't have to listen to anybody. You do. If you're a citizen, you're accountable to the government. You know, you'll try to go 100 miles an hour down Memorial Drive, see how long that lasts. You're accountable, of course you are. All right. Back. All right. So what he wants from us is for us to submit. And if we submit, that leads us back to positive words. And those positive words look like this. Sonship, adoption, freedom, security, triumph, inheritance, liberty, possession, and position. Those are all good words, huh? So in the book of Romans, Paul talks about, that's it, right?
Yep.
Paul talks about the church as one body. We're dependent on each other. Christ is the head. The hand is subject to the head. The foot is subject to the head. And the head can't walk around without legs, right? So let's talk about submission. Nobody likes that word. Nobody wants to say, well, I have to submit to an authority, right? And that doesn't mean inferior. It just means a position, right? Women get all torqued out about having to be subject to their husband. But Jesus submitted to the Father. Was he a wimp? Jesus is the head of the church, his bride. Did he put his thumb down on the bride? No, he raises the bride up, right? He makes the bride important. And then he sacrificed for the bride to the point of death on the cross. That's submission. And that's cool. So let me ask you this. Do you sacrifice for your family? Let's look at it like a marriage, all right? Anything with no head is dead. Anything with two heads is a freak, right? Your job is to be the head of the family. Are you being the head of the family? Are you making it easy for your wife and kids to follow you? I'm going to tell you a little story about one of my other daughters named Haley. And when she was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, my church was doing a home tour of different homes of people that in the church. I think it was during Christmas. And there's a guy named Jim King, who was a little older than me, who had a very, very nice house. And his wife is an interior decorator. So I wanted to go by their house to see it. And so it was Saturday, and my wife says, what are you doing today, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I just want to make sure I get by the King's house to see their house. And she goes, okay. And Haley pops up. She goes, I'm going with Daddy. And my wife, Susan, goes, well, why do you want to go with Daddy? She goes, well, he's going to the King's house. And she said, well, so why do you want to go there? And she goes, maybe the Queen will be there. And so in her mind, the Queen was this lovely, polished, happy, confident woman, right? So how about it, guys? Are you making it easy for your wife to be the queen? Or are you the mean old ogre? Or are you the guy who doesn't even care? If you're the head of the family, that's what our job is to do. You want to be the king that people want to follow. You want to be the king that makes it easy for your wife to be the queen. You want to be the king that your kids want to follow, right? Okay. So once we
decide to submit, what does it look like? We said before, we're created to worship God, but we live in a hedonistic society where it is cool to be a studly man who pulls himself up by his own bootstraps, right? I love the clip last week that Rick had, you know, with the old cowboy, and he says, you just got to know one thing. What is the one thing? Yeah? Well, really, guys, the one thing is Jesus. And that's all you need to know.
Okay? So, but because we live in that cool, self-made world, it's hard for us to be submit to God and have be in that position, that role that we play as his worshiper. So I have a little movie clip.
Most of you have probably already seen that before, right? But it makes me think of when you go to heaven and you get to the pearly gates. What are you going to say? God's going to say, why should I let you in? If you think you're going to say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I didn't murder anybody. I didn't rape anybody. I went to church most of the time. I did more good things than bad things. And I was better than most of the other guys. That's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. In fact, God's going to say, why should I let you in? There is one answer that's going to work. It's because Jesus made it possible, right? Amen? Where's my amen, people? Amen. That's the answer, guys. And that's the only answer that's going to work, all right? Now, after God says, why should I let you in, what's the next question that he's going to ask? What did you do with the resources I gave you that you had control over? What did you do? Again, I went to church. That's not good. That's not good enough. What did you do? Did you read my word that I gave you in 40 different versions, that I gave you in every different language, that I gave you on book tapes, that I gave you small groups to be in? Did you? That's what he's going to ask. All right, so this is where I get psyched again. And let's make sure I'm at the right. Yep. So God made it possible for us to be reconciled. Jesus was born to a virgin. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus was subjected to every temptation. Jesus died. In fact, he was killed on the cross in our place. And that, my friends, is the ultimate submission. Then think about it. They were pulling the hair out of his beard and spitting on him. He could have called down legions of angels to kick their butt. And he sat there in submission because the Father said, I want you to do this. And he did it. That's submission. But then he rose from dead and he conquered death. And then he ascended. And then Jesus sat down at the right-hand side of God. He sat down because his job was finished. That's pretty cool, right? So he's gone, right? Jesus said several times in the Gospels, while I'm here on earth, I'm the light. While I'm here on earth, I'm the salt, okay? Well, now he's gone. What are we going to do now? So he did not leave us stranded. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and that's what we can embrace, and that's what we can go forward with. All right, so here's some more reading parts. Yeah, I'll come down here and read. John chapter 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Telltale, right, guys? The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come in to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings, and these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So when Jesus was here, he could be in front of, I don't know, say 300 people, right? And then now when he's gone, the Holy Spirit's here, he can be everywhere. The Holy Spirit can be here. There's probably another men's life going on somewhere else. The Holy Spirit's there as well. The Holy Spirit's going to be here when you leave. The Holy Spirit's going to go with you when you leave.
He can be with us everywhere. So I once heard an analogy given of the Holy Spirit being kind of like a magnifying glass. Y'all know what this is? Can y'all see that? It's a magnifying glass. Right? Magnifying glass allows us to magnify things, right? So you look at words and they look bigger, right? Does it make the words bigger? It doesn't actually make the words bigger. It makes them look bigger, right? And that's what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. It enables us to worship God, to praise him, to make him look good, to make him prominent to other people. It also allows us to focus. That's the theme of the deal, but it allows us to focus. I have readers that I was hoping I wouldn't have to use today, but it allows you to focus on things, right? All right, now, you little crazy boys out there know what else a magnifying glass can do, right? Anybody ever burned an ant? Anybody ever started a little fire with one of these dudes? It allows you to harness the power of the sun, right? And do some pretty crazy things with it. And the Holy Spirit is like that. It allows us to harness the power of God. All right. We're going. Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Father but me, but the Son, and whoever the Son allows. Amen. Romans. Hey, thank you. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Ooh, that's some tough stuff there. I'll get to that in a minute. All right, so off when he gave his speech, he talked about that which is specific is the most general. Y'all remember that? That which is specific is the most general. And what he was telling us there was that we all have a unique story. We all have some brokenness or maybe some talent that we can use, that we can positively influence others towards Jesus, all right? So don't be afraid to do that. In the movie Black Hawk Down, there's a scene that I really wanted to play the scene for you, but the language was not acceptable for church by any means. But anyway, there's this scene where this young army guy, I don't know the titles, but younger guy, who's in this truck, and then they're standing outside this truck, and his superior officer says, son, I want you to take this truck back to headquarters. He says, but sir, I've been shot. And the superior officer looks at him, he goes, son, we've all been shot. Get in the truck and go. And it makes me think about the times where we say, oh, you know, that's not for me. I can't really do evangelism. I've been shot. I've been divorced, or, you know, people know that I used to be a drunk, or maybe I've done something bad. I've been shot.
I can't do that. Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. And really, if you've been shot, it's all the better. Because your scars are what's going to help other people feel good about it and teach them that they're also capable of embracing Jesus.
But to do this successfully, we have to die.
We have to die to our pride and be alive to God. So you see, Calvary always precedes Pentecost. And I got to come down here again. Sorry about that. So death and submission. Christ had to die to be able to defeat death and rise again. And so do we. We must kill our old natural self and keep killing it. Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I. Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is now with Christ in God. Calvary precedes Pentecost. Death precedes life. You have the I cannot of Moses. You have the woe is me of Isaiah. You have the I am but a child of Jeremiah. You have the I am a sinful man of Peter. You have the in me dwelleth nothing good of Paul. And then not my will but thine of Jesus. Gentlemen, no more self-confidence, self-assurance, and pride. Utter dependence in Christ. You are not the king. Galatians 5:19 through 26 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Christian. If you are so filled with the Holy Spirit that nothing else can flow out, then the fruit of your life is going to be the fruit of the Spirit. And people are going to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. God will test you, but he will not tempt you. A test is an opportunity to succeed. An attempt is an enticement to fail. So what now? When I was in college, I had this deal on my billboard, on the wall in my dorm. It said the 5 P's. Prior planning prevents poor performance. All right? So we have to be proactive. We have to plan to be the servant that we want to be. We want to be a good and faithful servant. If you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. 1 Peter 1:13, be holy, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed and is coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in you too. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And then Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, soul, and with all your mind. So, and we talked about this already. So in the name of Jesus and the interpreted words of the Holy Spirit, which are groans too deep for us to comprehend, call out to God our Father and claim the gift of salvation, and then work out that salvation daily by dying to your prideful self and trusting him. Praise God, gentlemen. We're in the family, you and me. He did it for us, and now we are to worship him. So let me end it with a prayer. Father, the ultimate relationship began when you selected us. You selected us because you love us. And then you redeemed us from our sins, and now you're molding us and sanctifying us for the day when we finally come home in glory with you. And we pray that we would be your good and faithful servants, not a disappointment. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.